Well, hello and welcome back to this week's episode of The Rusted Culture. And I'm your host, as always, Frank Ebersold, right here. And, you know, folks, I just have to ask you, is it any surprise to Americans that the worst president in American history has just decreed that he's going to end the DACA program? Well, are you shocked and dismayed like me, or did you expect the propitious gobbling president to do exactly what the alt-right wants him to do? I mean, did this come as a surprise? And, you know, just like he always does, in a finger-pointing of the blame, in saying that he's going to dismantle the DACA program, Trump said that the threat of lawsuit from 9 other states we're talking about here, like Texas, Arkansas, Alabama, Idaho, Kansas, Louisiana, Nebraska, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. You know, they've all pushed, all those 9 states, they pushed to make a lawsuit out of this whole thing, out of this whole DACA program. Hateful. Hateful, hateful. I'm telling you, it's all hateful. And I'm half Southern, and I'm telling you, it's all hateful. Well, folks, it's really a sad day for America, and it's a sad day really for all Americans, because the sad reality of the DACA program is that it's working. It's working. And, you know, these DACA recipients, they want to become good Americans. And the facts back that up. I mean, it's the craziest thing. These people are trying hard to become good Americans, and the only thing that's preventing them, they've done everything. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what they've done here in a second, but they've done everything to become and be good Americans. But the you know, you've got somebody like Jeff Sessions. Those are the people, and the people from a lot of those southern states. I'm telling you, they're the ones that are standing in the way of these people becoming good Americans. So here we go. Now that's where I sort of unravel the sad reality of the DACA program. So in a nutshell, let's first talk about DACA, exactly what is it? And the program originated 5 years ago by then President Obama. And it roughly affects 800,000 undocumented young people. Aliens, we call them. These people's aliens. What in the heck are they doing here? Those aliens. Well, these 800,000 young undocumented people, who are they? Who are they anyway? Well, 97% of these 800,000 undocumented young people are 97% are employed or in school right now. And 100% of these people have no criminal record. You can't be in the program and have a criminal record. 100% have no criminal record. And, you know, the U.S. is making money off of these folks, too. So they're working, and they're paying taxes. Yes, they pay taxes on income. Surprise, surprise, surprise. They do pay taxes. And not only that, but they've got to pay $500 to renew in the DACA program every 2 years. And, you know, a look at who's hiring these people. 72% of the top Fortune 500 companies in the United States employ DACA recipients. And if you'd like to check it out in further detail and some of the facts that I'm reporting here, because I know this is a fake news society we got going on here, right, Mr. Trump? This is all fake news. Well, my webpage, which is rustedculture.com, on that webpage, you're going to be able to see a link that has the information contained about the Docker program that I just mentioned. Just check it out. It's under episode 26, and it's all right there. You can read it and a lot more detail. So check it out. It's brought to you by American Progress, a link to AmericanProgress.org. So in reality here, folks, we're talking about 800,000 young working people who are doing everything you would expect of an American citizen, everything that you would expect an American to do under the Docker program. They're doing it all. They're doing everything right, yet they're in legal limbo because of the nature of the program, and they can't even apply to become American citizens. They're not allowed to apply. Now, I think what Obama did with the DACA program so far, I mean, let's face it, folks, you know, with healthcare, he's working within constraints. Same thing with DACA. He was working within constraints. But what he did within that program, I think is great. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. But these people that are in the program, they need to be provided with a path to American citizenship. You know, the biggest person that's standing in their way of doing this is our very own mean-spirited Keebler elf himself, Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Who would have thought that Jeff Sessions would argue against this? Well, folks, he's so mean-spirited. You know, Jeff evidently he was just banned from ever making pecan sandies again in the hollowed-out tree where the other friendly Keebler elves do their good baking. They don't want him around. They don't want him around. Just like Tom Petty said. Don't come around here no more. Whatever you're looking for, Jeff Sessions, don't come around the Keebler Elf Baking Shop anymore. They don't want you. Just go on, get. Well, if we look at the DACA recipients and what they're making, if we look at the pay, the average hourly wage of the respondents that were polled in this DACA program, the average hourly wage increased by 69% over the 5 years that they've been in the program, from roughly $10.29 an hour to $17.46 an hour. And for those who are 25 years and older in the DACA program, the hourly wage that they were getting rose 84% over the past 5 years. And again, that's all from the article in AmericanProgress.org that's on my website. So, I mean, when you sum it up, folks, I mean, these folks are doing everything right. They're doing great work at where they work. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't be getting a pay raise. We know how that works. So they're exemplary. I mean, they're great. I mean, they're working hard, they're crime free, and they're earning money and getting some pretty good salary increases. And all of this is telling me that they're doing something right. Now, wouldn't it make sense to give them a path to citizenship? Should the color of their skin keep them from being Americans? I mean, come on. This madness has got to stop. I mean, this is the new Twilight Zone here, folks. Remember that? The Twilight Zone? It's crazy. You know, this is how it is with our new president, though. We're talking pure Twilight Zone, where time and space, and good reason for that matter, no longer exist. And folks, you got to get used to it here. I'm saying, yeah, let's get rid of this guy in the next election here. But we're being ruled by the alt-right. Even though Steve Bannon's out of the House, he's gone. Good riddance. There are plenty more still around Trump. I mean, and himself. The king of chaos. I mean, he's fairly alt-right as they get. I mean, and he's surrounded by more just like himself. Well, you know, the alt-right is holding America hostage here I mean, you can see it in Trump's Charlottesville rebuke, if you can call it that, where he said that many good people are mixed in with the Nazis and the KKK protesters. Many good people. Folks, I'm telling you, the alt-right is slowly, they're taking back our country. They're taking it. They're trying to turn back time. I'm telling you, you got to watch it. People like Steve Bannon, Rush Limbaugh, Alex Jones, they're all going to have a crazy big old party tonight by the light of the silvery moon over Trump's decision to end DACA. They're all going to have a big old party. So what can we do to stop the madness? Well, it's time, it's high time here to pressure your congressman or congresswoman, because the fight is shifting there, right to Congress, for the future of DACA recipients. And we need a bill that's going to grant permanent legal status to the so-called dreamers, the recipients of DACA. And folks, I'm telling you, you need to gear up and get ready for a fight to get this done, because in 2010, there was a bill called the DREAM Act, and it failed in the Senate in 2010. We can't let it fail again. And along with business leaders from Apple, Facebook, and Google, and many others, we need to apply the kind of pressure to your congressman or congresswoman that only you can do. Nobody can do it like you can. And if you don't know who your representative is, you can go to my website, www.rustedculture.com. And I've got a link on that website where you can just simply click on it, type in your zip code, and you can get all the information on how to contact your representative. And once you put your zip code in, you click the representative, you get the added information, you click his name, and then you can send him an email or anything like that. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, it's time to motivate your representative to do the right thing for America. We can't afford to have anybody sitting there and not let them take our country down the wrong path. We just can't let them do it. So in a second here, I'm going to tell you a little bit about why I think Trump is so sympathetic to the KKK and the neo-Nazis. Hang right in there. Well, in the previous segment, I kind of mentioned and alluded to the fact how Trump is caved. He's caving into the alt-right and not denouncing the KKK and the neo-Nazi sympathizers in Charlottesville. It took him a heck of a long time. You know, and these people, they all, you know, by the way, they love Donald Trump. They love him. They love him. Let's face it. And, you know, it was only after an outpouring of national rage that prompted Trump to issue a half-hearted denouncement of the KKK and Nazi sympathizers, after Trump said, some were good people. Some were good people. How would you expect a president to react like this? I mean, would you ever expect a president to say something like this? Well, I do have a theory that I'm kind of kicking around here as to why Trump cuddles up to the alt-right. I mean, remember all the way back to the campaign. Even all the way back to the campaign. And I talked about this on the show. He even gave the alt-right, Nazi sympathizers, KKK, put them in the same bucket, whatever. Same thing to me. Trump gave them all press credentials at his rallies. They were shocked and surprised. Wow. This doesn't happen very often, but it did with Trump's campaign. You see, the problem with Trump, folks, I mean, the reason why he doesn't see the KKK and the Nazi sympathizers, like most Americans do, is that his family never touched a gun in military service in defense of our country. Never. The Trump family has made no military service a family tradition. They've never served. you go all the way back to Trump's grandfather, who was, by the way, kicked out of Germany in 1905, kicked out for failing to complete mandatory military service. That's how we got him. Oh, Lord, if we'd only known. And again, on my website, I've got a link to this AOL article on my website. You can check it out. Look at the facts, the details. And then if you look at Trump's father, he never served as well. And you know, Trump never served. I mean, he got 5 deferments. I mean, the only thing he didn't claim is that he had hemorrhoids. But 5 deferments to avoid serving. So think about it. If nobody in his family ever served in the military, if nobody fought and died in his family defending our country against Nazi aggression, or in any war for that matter, there was never a price paid for defending freedom and democracy by Trump's family. Never. So the alt-right Nazis just seem like there's some good folks. You know, they could be good folks in there. They've never defended freedom and democracy. Never had to make that sacrifice. So yeah, according to Trump, there's some good folks in there. They all can't be bad, can they? You know, Trump doesn't value democracy and freedom. Oh, he says he does. He says he does. But not like you and I do. He doesn't value democracy and freedom that many of our countrymen and our family members. Our family members have fought and died to protect. Otherwise, Trump wouldn't stand for anything about the KKK or anything about the Nazi sympathizers. And he wouldn't say that there's some good people in there. For God's sakes, it's twisted, folks, and quite frankly, it's upsetting. And to be honest with you, that's why I'm here right in front of you today. That's why I do this podcast, and that's why I fight for every shred of democracy and freedom we've earned in America. We can't afford not to fight for it. It's worth fighting for, folks. We just got to keep up the pressure on this president. And I do want to thank you for joining me, and I'm going to see you next time. But until then, take care.